I always find this service a little interesting because it's not in our norm, and I always wonder how is everybody going to come? Because some people they come in the building, they haven't been to the building before, and they are just like stone quiet, like just let me hide, get the service started. And then you guys come in here and you're all just yapping. What you do best, yeah. And I think it's awesome because I kind of think that I think the disciples going to the upper room were yapping. And they were going to their celebration, their Passover. And I think there was a lot of just excitement. There was a lot of talk. There's a lot of wonderment going on. What's going to happen? They've been kind of in a busy week, this whole week of Passover. Things have been happening. Jesus has done these things. And then Jesus has been kind of hiding because his life was a threat, you know. I don't think they're sitting there all quiet with their hands folded going, okay, we're going to do the Passover. And I think the biggest proof to that is no one wanted to get up to wash feet. And I think part of it is that nobody wanted to be that person. But I think another part of it is nobody wanted to leave what was going on either. They were in that moment, enjoying that moment. And so I think for us tonight, in our weird time of gathering, we're in a week. We're also looking forward to Good Friday, Easter. And some of you are looking forward to Easter so much, you keep giving me weather reports. Thank you. I just want to let you know, God's in control, all right? We just pray. But, you know, my challenge for you is just be in the moment. Because we got a God who gets up from the table and comes and washes feet. And when we gather in worship, we lift our hands, we praise, we pray, but it's more importantly that there's a God who's come to still wash your feet. That you know you're His and you're forgiven and He's with you. So no matter what storms come ahead and darkness is ahead, God's with you. And no matter if you fail even when you come to that darkness, God is with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. In fact, He keeps coming to you to wash your feet again, to know you're forgiven. You've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. You are loved. And so that's why this night is so special. We need to be reminded. We need to be strengthened for what's ahead. So with that, I invite you to rise. And we're going to begin our worship together. First, we're just professing what we believe. As we believe as a church that has been written down by our forefathers called the Nicene Creed of who it is that we worship and we glorify. And so together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance of the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I acknowledge one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Heavenly Father, we lift our voice up to you, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, who's conquered all. God, we acknowledge you're here with us. We profess that, not just to you, but we in that creed, we profess it to one another, that you matter, that you made a difference in us, in this world, in eternity. And so we lift our voices to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Oh, remember, redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I want held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your blood poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. You were as I, tempted and tried, human. The Word became flesh for my sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Your heart, to your heart, lead me to your heart, lead me to your heart, lead me to the cross where your love poured out. To my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Bring me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross. You know, that sacrifice, the blood of Christ, communion we take on Sundays, such an important sacrament. It's a gift from God. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. But He loves us that much. He became sin, and you know sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole world trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Name above all names. Blessed Redeemer. Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, a blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners. Come from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
So we turn to the Gospels today for our reading and meditation for tonight. So we remain standing in honor of these words concerning Jesus according to Matthew. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. You may be seated.
Rolling that without spilling the water was my first challenge of the evening, so I'm on an uphill ride here. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a famous painting of the first Last Supper. I think it's a mural on a wall in Italy somewhere. And there are lots of copies, and one time someone brought me a plaster cast of the Last Supper. And it was interesting because in those early days we couldn't go to the computer so easily and ask what each person in the picture was. So we tried to guess which apostle was which, because they have them sitting. If you look at it, they have different poses, and you can pick out the famous one. And it matters because these are the heroes of the church. At least in Western society, I bet there are more people named after those disciples than any NFL football team that exists. There are more towns, there are more churches named after these heroes of the faith. And in that room full of heroes and mighty men of God, Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." And they got real quiet. Later he said to Peter, "You will deny me." And we know that one of them will become so famous at doubting that his name became Doubting Thomas. And we know that the disciples on the road sometime before this had been arguing over who would be the most important person in the kingdom. And then Jesus said, when it gets right down to it, "Every one of you are going to run away and abandon me." And it starts to sound like a room full of losers, not heroes. The thing about the stuff you do and the stuff you say is it follows you around as a kind of evidence, and it's easy to begin to feel like a loser. If you measure yourself as a church member, as a father, a mother, as a spouse, as a son or daughter, you begin to see things you fail at, and you can start to see that maybe you're not a hero. Maybe you're one of those losers. I walk the beach. My exercise is I walk on the beach for 30 minutes. I stop every 5 minutes and talk to somebody, but in all, I'm gone for 30 minutes, okay? And I think that counts, because I'm standing up while I talk. There's another old guy who does the same thing, and I frequently see him on the beach. And when we pass the first time, we'll stop and talk, because he's from Omaha, Nebraska, and he's a Chiefs fan, just like I am. And so we'll talk about that a little bit, and then when we meet again coming back, we'll generally wave and go on. And just this week, as I passed him the second time, he said, "Remember, no regrets." And it struck me, I didn't recall discussing anything about regret, but that was what he shouted out to me, was no regrets. And when you're walking the beach and you're not talking, you think, And I got to thinking about no regrets. I'm 77 years old. You can arrive at 77 with no money. You can arrive with no job. You can arrive with no hobby. You can arrive with no house. You can't arrive with no regrets. You spent way too much time doing stuff that reminds you that you're not as good as you wanted to be. These disciples were reminded of their failures by Jesus Christ, and then he gave them this gift. He said, "When you share this supper, I will be there." They had a powerful message in that when they shared the gospel, Jesus would be there. When the waters of baptism were poured out, Jesus would be there. And he stood there before this room and offered them those great treasures. How could you measure up to that treasure if you are a loser? And they remembered. Peter wrote, "Always be prepared to give an account for the hope that is in you." And St. Paul, who would come along a little bit later, told a whole story. He said, "I was an enemy of the church." He said, "I took on the job of hunting down Christians and putting them in prison so they could be tortured and murdered there." He said, "That's what I did before God called me." They knew those stories, but when Paul wrote his famous letter to the church at Rome, he said, "I am Paul, called to be an apostle." You have a choice in your life to live with the evidence piled up by the mistakes you have made and the sins you have done, or you can measure your life by the gift from Jesus Christ that takes all those sins away. Are you a loser or are you a hero? It matters the choices that you make. It feels like to be a follower, an active follower of Jesus, what you need to have is the right answers. Reminds me of a story regarding our first son, our first child. What you find out when you have children is you're amazed at how wonderful geniuses your children are. You had no idea because you always had other people's children. When you finally get your children, now they don't measure up to grandchildren. I'll tell you that ahead of time, okay? Grandchildren are perfect. They are without mistakes, right? They make no mistakes. Of course, I've never actually used the N-word with them. I've never told them no to anything. But so when Dan could barely walk and barely talk, he became enamored of the number 5. If you said, "How old are you?" he would say 5. He wasn't 5. "How many apples do you want?" "I want 5. "How many puppies are out there?" "There are 5. 5 was the answer to everything. So we went to a neighboring pastor's house, and their son had started the first grade, and they wanted to show off how smart he was in math. So they called him forward and said his name was Tommy. "Tommy, what is 3 plus 2? And Dan said, 5. He can hardly talk. He's in diapers. It's 5. I told him, "No, it's just, do another number. Do another. Do another one." And it would have worked had they not said to their son, "What is 4 plus 1? And it feels like, and having studying your scripture so you can answer questions about the Bible is a valuable thing. But I would like to show you something that lifts up your witness that has nothing to do with what you know. You change your family and you change your neighborhood and you change how you sleep at night if you choose to live as a hero. As someone whose evidence for their life is based on the fact that Christ washed every sin away. You are a hero because Christ called you to be a family of God. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, I look at my pastors around me here, I would like to make a statement that sounds startling. Jesus returns the favor. He believes in you. He says to you, "You be my disciple." You, he says to you, "When you join for this supper, I will be there." He says to you, "When you proclaim the gospel, the power that changes everything is my power. And when you pour out the waters of baptism, I will be there with my power." He is empowering you because he believes you are a hero. If you would like to change how you walk in this world, I think you should try to volunteer for one more thing. I think you should tell one other person you will pray for them and then say a prayer with them. That's scary, but I challenge you to step up to that. to look for one opportunity to ask someone if they'd like to hear about Jesus. You may never get a yes, but I challenge you to step up to that one thing. But I, above all things, encourage you to stand and be a hero in your life, to understand Son of God, Creator of the universe, gave His blood to wash away every sin so that you could stand forgiven of your sins. They were hiding. Easter morning for fear of the Jews. That's how they spent Easter morning. They were hiding in my... I told you I was 77. I have to keep saying that because I forget. And my wife has to keep reminding me. No, you're 77. I think the church has begun to creep into the shadows in my lifetime. There was a time when you understood if you're a churchgoer, it's a good thing. And people championed that. And you said, I'm going to Sunday school. Or you said, I'm going to vacation Bible school. And you shared that you were going to church because it was a good thing and accepted by people. There came a time when it started to become obtrusive, that you were being pushy, that you were offending people, that you didn't have a right to say your faith when there's all those other faiths. And I think the church as a whole slid into the shadows a little bit. We began to be very shy about our faith. Weren't ashamed of Jesus, understood what we believed, but we had this idea that somehow we were to be a quiet church, that we were to be out of the way. And Satan, who loves to tell you every mistake you've ever made, wants to talk you into being a loser. And Satan, who wants the church to be quiet, wants to just edge you out of the mainstream a little bit. Just a little bit. It doesn't matter. But after a while, the church has become quieter and more silent. I believe if you and I would simply begin to live our lives as heroes, it would change the way we see our lives. I live on the ninth floor of our condominium, and I am very familiar with our elevator. I'm also extremely claustrophobic. If you're claustrophobic, you know, you say it's all in your head. I don't care where it is, it's there, okay? So I have begun a saying that I say when I step into the elevator, I say, God and me. I just started it out because our elevators don't work half the time. We're down to 2 out of 3 right now. And I was trapped. Since I've moved, I was trapped once in an elevator, okay? I started using that phrase in other places now too. When I get into the car to drive, when I'm going to meet someone for some social event, when I'm in the grocery store, it's helped me understand that there's something meaningful about the everyday activities of our lives, that it matters what we do in all of those out-of-the-way places. And it's really astounding if I think that Jesus said He was going to be with me in all those places. Jesus doesn't hang out with losers, does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous. He hangs out with winners. He hangs out with the victorious. I want to remind myself that that's who I am, because when I believe in Jesus, He believes in me. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Shem. It was funny, as I was in my quiet time today, I was reminded of an elevator story. Honestly. And the story is that if you go into an elevator, there's usually not a 13th floor. They skip that because everybody's afraid of it. But if you do the math, it's there, but not the number, right? And I learned this, and my last sermon at my last church before I left, My challenge to the church was to be courageous and go to the 13th floor where nobody else goes. Like, if we're really going to be the church, we got to go to the 13th floor. And what you just said is, how we do that? Not by our might, not by our skill, not because we're so great, because God's with us. God and I, we can go to the 13th floor. We can be courageous life givers to go to the 13th floor. It's pretty cool how God put that together. So remember that, would you? That's my encouragement. Hey, thank you for that word. And as we continue our worship, in your worship folder, there's an offering envelope as we can honor God and be that courageous life giver in our giving. And that is a courageous act of faith. Because we say, God, I trust you that there's more, and I can give you my tithes and my offerings. Also, the connection card, I saw it was the home team, so I didn't make a big deal about it, but you know this is here. We'd love to be able to have your connect with you, and just your name is suffice, because if you've been here before and all that. When I turn to the backside, if you have any next steps you want to take, we are doing something new that we just want to draw your attention to. It's called the Lighthouse Dinner, and that Lighthouse Dinner is for people that are new and want to learn more about hope and get like, hey, here's an opportunity just to learn about hope and a chance to meet some people and to say, okay, here's where my next steps can be in this ministry and what is the next step that's really appropriate for me and just kind of learn what the next steps are and not have to make a commitment. It's a starting place. And so I really want to encourage, if you haven't made a starting place or you run into people and like, man, I love hope, where do I start? Lighthouse Dinner. And who do I get with for that? His name is Steve Rice. He's rather nice, so talk to Steve Rice, who's nice, and we'll get it done, okay? Other things up there you see, and again, if the weather does, we'll send out information. We'll watch it tomorrow, Friday. But just a reminder, too, we're at Fort Panic, so Good Friday, 12 o'clock, 3:30 Port Panic, and Fort Panic. And if you are going to that service, I'm going to ask for you guys to get there a little earlier and tell people to move. In the name of Jesus, move them. Tell them Jesus is going to send lightning right there if they stay, and that might help. Go with God. Just do it, right? But it would be helpful to try to mark out some area to get there earlier. So you're going to bring a chair, and you're going to just try to claim some land for us, okay? It'll be new for us to do a 3:30 there. And so we're just going to try to see where God's going to put us and fit us in. But if you can go assist with that, we would appreciate it. And then Inland at 5:30, and then, you know, the summer, the Easter schedule. If you're coming here for 11 o'clock, just the good news is we're gonna dig up that word. So if you didn't realize we buried a certain word, there's a little tombstone over it out there if you haven't seen it on your way out, colored by Wah. And so, you know, that's my art, that's my kindergarten skills coming out. And but we will start, some of us will start with the kids that come for service, and we will dig it up, and we'll bring it in, and it'll be a great celebration, and then everybody will have permission to say that word again. Aren't you just so excited for that?
Man, I can't wait.
I was going to say, Roberto can't wait. Roberto's like, that's my favorite word. Like, I was like, put a sock in it. No, I'm just kidding. It's been hard. And so anyway, we're going to continue our worship, and as we do, you're welcome to bring your connection cards and your offerings to the plates.
You were the Word in the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin. sin was great, your love is greater. What can separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Let us rise and let's call in the name of Jesus in those words that he